automatically lead to reconciliation. And you will find the answer why I say this. Forgiveness does not lead automatically even to justification. Many say, I have faith. Well, the devils have that too. I believe in God. The devils do it exactly the same. What is the difference between them and me? Did you ever think about that? James said they also believe. You believe that God is one. The devils do. You did good to believe that. Something to ponder about to find the answer there. But a second thing, Romans 5:2, benefit through whom we have gained access. Now, if we will come to the tabernacle, but I think one of the awesome thing of truth is that that veil was for so many years closed for all of us. None of us could have access to God. None. He was a God who concealed himself and only revealed him to some men, some people in the Old Testament. Moses, his friend. He called him a friend. Abraham. Aaron can only once a year enter the holies of holies in the presence of God. And I think he stands there with much trembling when that Shekinah glory of God comes down on that ark in the mercy seat. So much so, 40 days and 40 nights that Moses was on the mountain, his face was shining in the presence of God. The people can't stand to look at him. Moses, please cover your face. My paraphrasing of it. We can't look at it. Access. Now we can go through that veil. Why? Christ has opened it up for us. We've been declared just before God. And we can stand now on this new and living way. Hebrews say that we can walk into through that veil on behalf of what Christ has done. And I can call on Him, my Father, or God, you, for whatever my need is. Now I can call him Father, because Christ make him known to us as Father. Now he's a God who speaks and wants to be known among his people. Are you glad that you have access through him to God? Otherwise you should have gone through a pope or a priest or some person, or pay some penitence, some money for someone to, you know, to forgive your sins. And somebody get rich out of this. I need nobody, only Christ. I have access to God. He said, by faith into this grace which we now stand. You know, it is God's will that us stand as children of God and not to fall. And by His grace, He is able to keep us standing. He is able to help us to persevere in our faith. All the other gods don't have it. They don't know what is grace. I read a book, I think in 2017, I downloaded from the internet. They say their gods must find an excuse to give grace. Don't know it. It means you have to earn so much points before Him that He must find an excuse to give it to you. While God give it freely. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. But He stoop down and He give it. Because I'm justified now. And listen to this. And we rejoice. There's gladness. There's joy. Can you remember that Jesus Himself prayed to the Father that His joy will be in us and that it will be full? It's not a joy that is, you know, happiness that is belong or connected to material stuff. No. It is that joy where it is connected with Him, with a relationship with Him. Joy. And then He say, in the hope of the glory of God. That hope talks about my security, what I'm going to receive, eternal life in heaven. Here I receive it, but one day I'm going to be glorified, because Romans 8:30 say, not just being justified, but at the end of the day, I will be glorified. A hope that doesn't disappoint. That's a biblical hope, based on the Word of God, based on the promises of God, because He justified me. I hope you feel something in your heart of an excitement and a gratitude towards Him. As I make my notes and just ponder it, we are so privileged. I don't have to cut myself and do all these things like the Baal priest with Elijah, where he mocked him and tell him to scream louder. Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he's on vacation, and they cut him that the blood goes as their custom is. And he didn't do it. Oh, he just call on the God of Abraham, call upon him, and what happens? Wow, that fire come. He don't have to cut him and crawl on that mountain 10 times or do something. No, because God is alive, and he know his position in him. But listen also with this what has been given to us, this awesome privileges, benefits. Romans 5 verse 3 to 4 say, not only so, but we also rejoice. Not that we're going to be one day be glorified and that we will be inherit God Himself. And not just the gifts there, but God Himself. Now here on earth, because we are justified, we also rejoice in our sufferings. How do you put that two together? Well, God, Paul did it. He said, because this do something for you. This will work in you. Paul said, listen to this, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And I don't know if you know the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that here is something that God is able to keep me and to help me persevere. So that I don't lose my faith somewhere because of the suffering. How many people lost their faith because of suffering? They, you know, I said many times, when Jesus walked into the desert, led by the Spirit of God, for 40 days He came out with Him. He came out with the Spirit of God, led by Him in and brought out by Him. How many lost Him there somewhere in their lives? Go through trials and tribulations and they lost it. All hope, their faith has been shaken. And they lost it. What happened? Maybe because there's another gospel that say if you're suffering, there's something wrong with your faith. Then you don't believe, or there's some sin in your life. Paul said, no. We have to go through these things. We have to. Because it brings forth, it tempers our perseverance. And he said, perseverance, character. My character will be shaped through all these trials and tribulations and suffering that I have to go through. I said it the other day, if I took my glass of water, there's only lemon juice inside. There's a lot of things that is going to the bottom of it. On the eye, you can't see it. But if I stir it a little bit, go through some tribulation or suffering here, you can see these things coming up. We don't know, and that's what I said the other day. We don't know what is in our hearts until we have been a little bit shaken up through suffering or circumstances. And then you see, oh, I didn't know this was in my life. It must come out. It will shape my character. And then character, again, that beautiful word, hope. Because we have to go through many trials and tribulations into heaven. Hope. Through that as well, suffering makes sure that I'm being cut off of all these things that I am bound to. It's one of the things that God you want to use to say, but that your trust and your hope and your assurance is not in this, but in Him and Him alone. This is important. It's not that I say it's not important. But many of us is so cling to our earthly materialistic stuff that we can't leave it. We want to take it home. There's nothing that we can take there. Our hope. Then Romans 5:5. Because of that, someone is being poured out in our hearts. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. We the unlovable. He placed His love on us. And now through this whole act, He poured out His love by deposit that person, the Holy Spirit, in us. And we can say with right that He is also the Spirit of love. God's love. He is the essence of it. Otherwise, if that was not true, we will be full of hatred and still hate one another like Titus 3 verse 3 say. But now there's also affection. There's also sympathy and empathy and genuine love. By nature we don't love. By nature we hate. We kill. We steal. We rob. We do damage. But with the Spirit in us, can you see what God has done for you? Do you deserve it? No. Do I? No. But if I don't know it, then the enemy runs over me. Then I sit with false accusations. Like the one man said, the thought that come to in his mind is, God don't love him. God wants to kill him. God hates him. And then I go back with him and say, what does John 3:16 say? And he quoted to me, spotless, without a fault. And I ask him, what does it mean? You sit with the gun. What does it mean? What does it say to you? Don't memorize the verse for the sake of memorization. Find God in that verse. What is it saying to you? What is God saying to you through this verse? Does God love you? I don't know. Well, the Bible says that. Does God hate you? No, because He said, God loves me. Why did He love you? How much does He love you? Because He gave His Son to me. If I don't know that, I will believe the lies of the enemy. And I will be very easily persuaded. Another one is verse 9 to 10. Verse 9 say, we will be saved from God's wrath. We will be saved. There's then no condemnation. And that wrath is that I have to pay one day for my own sin. If I rejected his son, then I'm going to pay the price forever and ever. Because Jesus himself said in John 3 to Nicodemus, are we saved from that? And we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? But there's one thing we must remember today. Keep in mind. Remember what we say in Romans 8:30. Let me read it again. And those he predestined. Predestined, remember, there's another rock. We are on the sea. Can you see the rock? Predestined. That's an awesome theological, biblical doctrine. I just want you to know that. I'm not going into it. I want you to see it. Those. I want you to hear this. A word that comes over and over again. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Justify another rock. Those he justified, he also glorified. What is the word? Those. It's not everybody. It's not everybody that will be justified. I don't believe in the lesser doctrine called universalism. It means at the end of the day, everybody on the earth will be saved. No, only those, you say, those who put their faith in Christ. Those that has been justified. There might be someone here today that is not one of those who still need to become one of those. Are you one of those? How can I become one of those? Only through conversion. Only accept the outer call and the inner call of the gospel and respond positively with godly sorrow in my heart. And you can't even generate that. It must be the Spirit's job to do that. And when I do come, he do make sure that I will be one of those. Because he say, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he don't make a give a miscarriage. Never. The problem lies with us, not with God. If I'm not part of those. One day someone said, I want to, but God don't want to. That's a lie. You see, I want to leave the brandy, but the brandy don't want to leave me. I make my choice. I can remember, and I don't want to go too deep into that one. I can remember the day that my wife tear out her marriage certificate out of her ID. I don't want to go again into that. And she said, today, you choose between the bottle or me. But that night, I said to her, here is it. Put it back. Put a ring on your finger. I don't know how you're going to get all the wrinkles out of that one. Iron it out. Paste it back. I make my choice. I make my choice. Why? Because the power of that sin has been broken on the cross. Yes, there was the recovering process. And God helped me to go through that. Just like many of you. Through that roster time. But he was able to keep me. I am saved by three. You know, only those. Only those. Not everyone. Then Paul come and he say, for those who wants to observing the law, he say, the law can't give you that. The law come and condemns you. The law bring death. The law show you, it's a hard taskmaster, but it shows you to Christ. It shows you just like that laver in the gold, that brass laver in the tabernacle, when the priest look into it to wash his hands, the water, inside it is as a mirror inside. When he look into that laver to wash him, it shows the blood and all the stains on him to wash it. And this is what the Lord do, to come and show you. The word of God is like that laver. Yes, the law show me, and we will not know what is sin without the law of God. But it condemns. We can't be justified by the works of the law. And maybe I must clarify, by the ceremonial law, because people think they are exempt from the moral law of God. And they can do whatever they do, want to do, because they are free from the law. That's the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. But the ceremonial law, to do that works of it, to have merits before God, and to obey, and to please God through that, it condemns you. It can never bring us to completion, and it can never lift our sin. Only it is just temporary. After I give my sin offering and I go out there and I sin again, I am back to square one. It could never take away my sin. And people tried through the law to gain merit before God. Even the Ten Commandments, to say, I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? Whom of us here did today or for this week fully kept the Ten Commandments? It's a challenge, eh? Think of the first one. What about the second one? You know the second one? Oh, the third one. Oh, I think many of us, oh, they're also guilty, eh? Our mouth with our lips and our say, oh, always using his name in vain. One uncle said one day to me, well, I will say to God, I kept the Ten Commandments. I said, really, uncle? Should truly? From your heart? Yeah, let's test. Every metal will be tested. And as I go through it, we see how you get quieter and quieter. What will it, the verdict? Can you remember what is the verdict again? What will be the verdict before God of these things that you can't answer me? Guilty. And what does James say if you are falling short in one? You fall short in all. And this is what Paul said. The law could not justify us by observing, but only those who have faith in Jesus. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law for justification. To stand in a right standing with God. Why are so many people today go back to the Sabbath? Oh, there's a verse in Matthew 5:17 that say that Jesus didn't come to nullify the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill it. And now what is good for Jesus is good for us. So we are busy going back and we are saying we must not eat this and we are back under the law. But we are very selective when we go back to the law. Because there are some things that we allow ourselves to do. If you want to go back to the law, the Bible says you are exempt from the grace of God. You fall totally away from it. Because you try through the law where no one could please God. You want to take the law to have merits before God. And that very same people, some of them smoke, they drink, they do all these other stuff. And now they want to put grace there. It's the law plus. If you take one law, you take all of them. And if you are guilty in one of them, you are guilty of all of them. You are a lawbreaker. Guilty before God. Why is it that so many, and I talk of people that I know that was steadfast in their faith, turn away from that, go back. Why? And tell me then, I must not eat this, I must not do this, this is wrong and that is wrong. Paul said, I am dead to the law to live for Christ. I have no power over me anymore. Christ is the fulfillment of that. And that is what I accepted. And that is what God has given. And this is what God has done for me. Through Christ. And I stand justified before Him. And no one can accuse me because of all the rites and festivals and everything else. By grace. Do you know that? Do you have it? Maybe you are truly saved, but you don't know about justification. You must know it. And my time is up. But we are, remember, we are sailing out now in deep waters. Slowly. We don't take it. Well, we have a lot of time here, isn't it? Another month for the lockdown. Come on. We have enough time. Let it sink into you. Ask the Spirit of God to take these verses and make it alive and read it what Paul said. Because here, you know, now I have a gratitude of doing good works. There was a question. When I come to Christ for repentance and for salvation and I confess my sin, you know, why must I confess my sins after that? Is it for what reason? Well, salvation is also a once act for regeneration, for conversion in my heart. But every day thereof, I repent of the things that I do wrong every day. I live a life of sinfulness for maybe 30 years. Now I come to Christ. I repent once there. God can do an awesome work right there. But now from there, I live a life there where I say no to sin and yes to God. And if I did something wrong, I confess that. It's not for regeneration because it has been done. But to live now a life where I confess things where I was so used to do them. Not for repentance. Because it's done. But I repent from that thing and from that thing. Lord, maybe I didn't do, you know, Paul, James say, if you know to do something and you don't do it for you, it's sin. Lord, I could have done that. Forgive me that I didn't do it. Forgiveness. Because I have an advocate in my place who did propitiation for me, who forgive my sin. Does it give me a license to continue in my sin and I can just forgive? No. Ask forgiveness? No. If you live a lifestyle of sin, a pattern, a habit, question your conversion. In a true child of God, it will not be there. Remember again, there's a difference between a newborn baby in Christ and a Christian long on the road, struggling also with things to get it out of their lives. I hope that this makes sense to you, eh? Even if it is just a little bit. But May God help us and be the after speaker. We will continue later on again, because I want to come to that. You want to say that forgiveness does not lead automatically to justification. I hope you find already the answer in it, because the answer was already there. You know, I hope you find it. May God bless you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you in a simple way, just to help my brothers and sisters what it is, and to know this awesome doctrine. It's much more than even my 7 pages. But I think it is relevant and applicable and enough for us to get an understanding for what God has to do in response to our faith in Him, in His Son. We will come to that place where He say, in His sight, the very importance to know, in His sight. So help us to process what we have heard this day, so that you will be glorified. Make us alive unto it. And once we know and we get that wow experience in our hearts, no one can take it away. And I will be strengthened and growing strong in my faith in Christ, knowing that the Trinity is busy, active, involving in all of this. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time.